ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यस्य नारायणो देवो भगवान् हृद्गता सदा भक्त्याख्ये वलयज्ञानं धुनोति द्वन्द्वमार्कवत् नारायण The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences, is predominant within the core of your heart because of your being a pure devotee. He always drives away all the darkness of ignorance as the sun drives away the darkness of the universe. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The words bhaktya kevalaya indicate that simply by executing devotional service, one can become full of all knowledge. Krishna is the master of all knowledge. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasa shriyaha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesher junatishtati. And when the Lord is pleased with the devotee, the Lord instructs him. Only to the devotees, however, does the Lord give instructions by which to advance further and further in devotional service. To others, the non-devotees, the Lord gives instructions according to the manner of their surrender. The pure devotee is described by the words bhaktya kevalaya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that bhaktya kevalaya means jnana karmanya nashaya, unmixed with fruitive activities or speculative knowledge. Simply surrendering at the lotus feet is the cause of all a devotee's enlightenment and awareness. We are reading today from Canto 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 13, entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text 22. Prahlad Maharaj has left his kingdom, the royal comforts of his home, to travel the whole world looking for those who love Krishna, to seek the association, the blessings from them, and to hear their words. No greater wealth than this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Sri Sanatana Goswami, elaborately quotes from various scriptures to give evidence that there is no greater wealth, no greater fortune, no greater benediction in all of existence than the opportunity to even have a moment's association with devotees who have dedicated their lives in the loving service of the Lord. Because such association awakens our own propensity for loving Krishna. Such association empowers us to overcome all obstacles on the path of perfection. We read about it theoretically, but here is practical execution. Most kings, they leave their kingdoms with armies to conquer lands and somehow or other usurp the wealth of that land, the natural resources, the accumulated wealth of the previous kings and citizens. They want power. They want control. And wealth and land very much facilitate power and control. Historically, is this not what great kings, generals, and leaders leave their kingdoms to do? Prahlad was very different. Prahlad left his kingdom seeking the highest wealth. Not prestige, not power, not money, not acquisition of gold and silver and jewels. He was looking for the Shiromani, the crest jewel of the whole universe, the association of sadhus. In whatever condition they may be in, not discriminating, whether they are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, whether they are Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, or Sannyasis. Prahlad was Saragrahi. He was looking for the essence. He was looking for that devotion. And as we were speaking yesterday, he found just some man laying on the ground in the jungle. He looked like the laziest person in the entire world. He just laid there. Didn't bother to get up to work for his living. Didn't even bother to get up to pick berries or fruits. Something, just if God just put something in his mouth, he ate it. Otherwise, he didn't care. Now, by material standards, he was really lazy. And usually, that's the last thing a king wants in his kingdom is lazy people. Parasites just laying around, doing nothing, just waiting for somebody to do something for them. But Prahlad bowed down to him with folded palms, offered prayers to him, because he saw he was completely dependent on Krishna. And Prahlad praised him and begged this avaduta, please give me your wisdom. Tell me about your life. You're just laying here. And you haven't even lost any weight. Which is pretty amazing. So Prahlad could see something great where nobody else could recognize. Shukadev Goswami, he looked like a madman. He looked so crazy that he was just wandering around naked, not talking to anybody. And children just thought he was some crazy person. And you know how children are. They were teasing him, chasing after him, throwing things on him. Shukadeva Goswami didn't defend himself. He just kept walking. And they were all ridiculing him like anything. And then Shukadeva Goswami comes into the bank of the Ganga. And Vashishtha Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, the greatest sages in the whole universe, they all stood up and bowed, stood up and honored, worshipped Shukadeva Goswami as being a great saint. Because they could see the inner essence of his love for Krishna. They did not judge him on the basis of superficial external appearances. Similarly, the story of Jad Bharat. He looked like a what they call a man animal. Yes, those dacoits, they saw him standing in a field his stepbrothers just put him in a field all night long for the purpose of scaring crows and other animals away from the crops. They thought he was so useless, he was so ignorant, that there's nothing else practical he could do except stand there and scare animals away. Yes, he didn't care, he just stood there. He didn't say, oh, you don't know who I am. He just cooperated with them. And then those dacoits kidnapped him. And they wanted to make him a man-animal sacrifice to the goddess Kali. And they thought, this person is just an idiot. He's just an ignorant fool. He has the brain of an animal, although he has this big human body. And he didn't retaliate. He just, all right. They washed his body. They put nice clothes on him. They put him in front of Kali. They had the chopper. They chanted their mantras. They were about to chop his head off. He just stood there. He didn't care. Go ahead, chop my head off. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't say a word. He was just, Mari Krishna Rake Ke Rake Krishna Mari Ke Krishna, I'm yours. You can kill me, you can save me, I'm yours. He was really in that mood, total dependence on Krishna. They thought he was just the lowest of men. But Kali Devi, she saw the essence within him. That he was a Mahatma. So Kali burst out of the deity and took the chopper out of the pujari's hand and chopped off his head. And then all the other dacoits chopped off all their heads. And then all kinds of witches started coming out of the deity. And Kali, along with all these witches, were just chopping their heads off and playing catch with their heads. They were just throwing their heads around and blood all over the place. And they were screaming in anger that these people dared to offend a devotee. And Jagbharat just stood there. And then Kali Mata offered her obeisance, offered her respects to Jagbharat. And he walked away. What a life. Just started walking around. And in the middle of the jungle, the king, they had one of his palanquin holders was disabled, so they had to find someone else. And he just happened to be there. And they just dragged him out of the forest and said, you carry this. He wouldn't say a word. Would not say a word. They thought, this person can't even talk. He was carrying. Anybody'd stop every time an ant passed because he didn't want to hurt the ant. And the king was so upset. He's such a rocky ride. Chastising him. Threatening him. Here's the king. Threatening him directly, personally. Do that again and you're going to be punished. I'm the king. You're my servant. Jagbharat honored an ant as much as he honored the king. That's the reality. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavihastini sunichaiva swapakecha pandita samadarshan. Great soul sees everyone with equal vision because he sees the Paramatma within the heart. There's a part of Krishna everywhere, wherever there's life. So I guess he must have been thinking that if I stop, the king is going to get some temporary inconvenience. But if I don't stop, I kill the ant. So which is better, to give one living being a little temporary inconvenience or to end their life? He was not going to kill an ant just for the sense gratification of a king. So he, again, the next ant that passed, he stopped. king flew into rage, chastising him. But then Jad Bharat spoke to him transcendental knowledge. And the king surrendered and became his disciple, Rahugana. So we cannot always understand something by external appearance. Krishna sees our character. Krishna sees our purpose. Krishna accepts our love. The intention of our love. That's all. So Prahlad saw that in this person just laying in the ground, covered with grass and dirt. He saw a Mahatma. Prahlad was begging from him, give me the wealth of blessings and knowledge. But similarly, this Avaduta, who was just laying on the ground like a python, he had the divine vision where he could see who Prahlad Maharaj was. He was very reciprocal. He didn't just see Prahlad as a king. He saw Prahlad as a pure devotee of Lord Narayan. A person who was blessed with the greatest treasures within his heart. And here he is praising Prahlad. Not usually you praise a king because you want, you know, some favor. Yes? But what favors is he going to ask for? He didn't have anything. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulence, is predominant within the core of your heart. Because of your being a pure devotee, he always drives away all the darkness of ignorance as the sun drives away the darkness of the universe. And Srila Prabhupada ends his purport by saying, simply surrendering at the lotus feet is the cause of all a devotee's enlightenment and awareness. Very, very powerful statement. We can perform austerities. We can accumulate vast quantities of knowledge. We can get huge results in whatever particular endeavors we may be performing. And those things may get us jnana and karma, may help us improve our material life, may make us very powerful, may even give us liberation, tremendous knowledge, influence. But real enlightenment and awareness of the Lord within our heart is exclusively given by Krishna according to our surrender. That's all. Krishna simply wants to see our surrender. Lord Chaitanya tells Sanatana Goswami, he quotes a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that pure devotional service is very rare. Why is it so rare? Because when Krishna gives pure devotional service, he gives himself. He is subordinate to the love of his devotee. He is purchased by the love of his devotee. He accepts the position of a prisoner in the heart of his devotee. So he's not going to give that very easy. liberation, mukti, according to this standard, he gives it easy. Now, for us, we're thinking mukti is something very, very difficult to achieve. Do you think like that? Liberation from all suffering forever? It's not that easy by our relative conception. But from Krishna's perspective and from the point of view of pure devotees, comparatively, Krishna gives liberation very easy. But very rare will he give pure devotional service. It's very rare. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma koteshvapi mahamune. Out of many who have attained mukti, out of many who have attained mystic perfections, siddhis, it's very rare to find one pure devotee of Narayana. Only such a person is happy, really peaceful. Because only as such a person is in his or her natural condition of ecstatic love. So there are many things in this world and many things beyond this world that we can acquire by our efforts, by our intelligence. But pure devotional service cannot be acquired by our own efforts. It is the property of Krishna, the property of his feminine potency, Srimati Radharani. And it is given. And in the purport of that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains when Krishna gives pure devotional service. Very, very powerful sentence. Shall I speak it? You'll only benefit to the degree you are eager to hear. This eagerness, this lobha, is the price of understanding transcendental knowledge. If you come to Srimad Bhagavatam class, or if you're reading the books, something like a classroom study, let me try to intellectually memorize this and understand this, and let me pass my Bhakti Shastra exam. That's nice. But that's not what is going to give you the understanding. We have to be eager. We have to be greedy. We have to be enthusiastic. We have to make it a priority. Maharaj Parikshit was the example. He was fasting for 7 days. He didn't really, it was just a detail that he wasn't eating or drinking anything. Obviously, he was feeling it. But it was just so much in the background, it practically didn't exist. Why? Because he was so hungry, he was so thirsty to drink the nectar of Krishna Katha. He was longing to hear. He was so excited to hear. It was life and death, every word. And that's why Shukadeva Goswami was so enthusiastic to speak, because he was so enthusiastic to hear. So if we really feel necessity for this knowledge, then our consciousness can digest it. And even the best food, if it's not digested, it has minimal value. Yes. You can have the most wonderful, wonderful food that has the most nutrition possible. But if you can't digest it, it just goes in and out. You might even get sick But if you digest it, then all benefits. So our eagerness helps us to digest. So are you eager to hear Prabhupada's instruction? Okay, I'll try to remember what it was. Srila Prabhupada explains that if Krishna sees that a devotee is serious and sincere and has no ulterior motives, then Krishna easily gives pure devotional service. Otherwise, it's very difficult, very rare. For one who is sincere and serious and has no ulterior motives, Krishna will easily give the crest jewel of all realizations, pure devotional service. Prema Pumarta Mahan, love of Krishna. That is qualification. And that is what Krishna is looking for. Our sincerity, our seriousness, and that we're performing our devotional service actually for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, for the pleasure of the Guru, for the pleasure of Krishna, to really help the conditioned souls. Not for prestige, not for material facilities, not for our own liberation. Natanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shuri bhavatad bhakti rohaite kitvai. This verse is what sincerity is about. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying, I don't want wealth. I don't want beautiful women. I do not want followers, fame, prestige. I'm not concerned simply with ending suffering or even liberation. I only want to serve you with no motivation except to please you. And if it is your desire, let me serve you in this way, birth after birth after birth. To the degree a devotee really just wants to please Krishna as the servant of the servant, to that degree, Krishna is satisfied, and Krishna can very easily give pure devotional service. And that is specifically what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Srimad Bhagavatam focuses only on that. Savai pungshang paro dharmo yato bhaktir rokshaje ahoitaki apratihataya yatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings about loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Dharma prochita kaita patra parama nirmatsaranam sadam. The Srimad Bhagavatam leaves aside everything except this essence of pure bhakti. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers have propagated within this world the pure essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam's conclusions. Which Prabhupada encapsulates so nicely in this sentence of today's purport. Simply surrendering at the lotus feet is the cause of all a devotee's enlightenment and awareness. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri. His deity is giving us darshan on the altar today. What we are reading in today's purport, he personified. in the most excellent form. The spirit of simple, unmotivated surrender. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he honored and worshipped Madhavendra Puri. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna in one form, the Yuga Avatar. And yet, he considered that Madhavendra Puri was the root of the tree of his entire mission. Yes. The root is where all the nourishment is coming from. Lord Chaitanya is considered the tree. All his associates are considered the branches of the tree. But Lord Chaitanya proclaimed that Madhavendra Puri is the root. The substance is coming but from him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally took initiation in this sampradaya because of Madhavendra Puri. There are four great Vaishnav sampradayas. He especially came in this Brahma Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, because of the presence of Sripad Madhavendra Puri. What a great person. Even God worships him. Do you know anybody that God worships? That God wants to be the obedient servant of the servant of? Hare Krishna. But yet, if we just, when Lord Chaitanya describes the character of Madhavendra Puri's life, we see someone who's just so humble and just so surrendered with no motivation except the Lord's pleasure. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Jagannath Puri, along with his associates, he stopped in Remuna, which is near Balasore railway station in Orissa. And there Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, and a few others, they went to the temple of Gopinath. How many of you have been to the temple of Gopinath? Actually, you're all sitting in the temple of Gopinath. How many of you have been to the temple of Gopinath? It's just testing to see if you were still awake. So... Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much eager to taste the kheer of Gopinath. But while he was waiting, he offered his prostrated obeisances to Gopinath. And while he was bowed down at the feet of Gopinath, there was a flower helmet on top of Gopinath's head, and it fell off right on Lord Chaitanya's head. And Lord Chaitanya considered this a very auspicious blessing. He was so grateful that he began to chant and dance amongst his devotees. Then he sat down and told the story of how his guru, Ishwara Puri, would tell him the stories of Madhavendra Puri's love for Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya began a beautiful narration which really shows how simply surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord is the cause of all the devotees' enlightenment and awareness. This narration of Madhavendra Puri reveals Prabhupada's statement that if we are simply sincere and serious and have no ulterior motives, Krishna gives us the highest jewel of pure devotional service easily. Madhavendra Puri came to Vrindavan. And he came upon Govardhan Hill. With great love, he did the parikrama circumambulating Govardhana. And afterward, he came to Govindakund and sat down, chanted the holy names. While he was sitting there, a small cowherd boy came to him. And he said, "You have been sitting here for a long time, and you have not eaten anything? In my village, nobody should go hungry." And Madhavendra Puri asked, "How do you know that I haven't eaten anything? How do you know that I have been fasting? And who are you?" And he said, "I'm a cowherd boy, and I'm from this village. And the neighboring ladies were taking water from the Govindakund, and they saw you sitting here not eating anything. So they gave me this pot of milk personally to give to you. So please drink it, and I will come later to collect the pot. But right now I have to go to milk cows." So Madhavendra Puri drank the milk, washed the pot, and sat looking at the pathway, waiting for the boy to return. But the little boy did not return. So Madhavendra Puri sat and chanted all night long. Just self-satisfied with the holy name. Most people, you know, if they can't get sleep at night, they're rolling and turning and tumbling and like... Any of you have that experience? Ever? So many, it's when you go to somebody's house, a guest in the morning, the polite thing to say is, "Did you get a good night's sleep?" Yes? Sleep is very important. If you don't get enough sleep, your intelligence becomes very much chaotic. Your mind becomes very uncontrollable. Your body becomes very much, the life errors start to go in all different directions. Very disturbing. Even, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, and they say so much of the problems of the world is because people don't sleep enough. Yes? So much loss, so many billions of dollars of loss because people don't get proper sleep and they can't function either physically or mentally. Too much anxiety. Insomnia is an epidemic in this world because people are in so much anxiety. But Madhavendra Puri, he just, all night long, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. He was in ecstasy. He was in love. He was simply in love, just chanting Hare Krishna. The holy name is everything. But somehow or other, at the very, very end of the night, as he was chanting, by Krishna's arrangement, he dozed into a sleep. And for those moments when he dozed into a sleep, Krishna entered in the form of that same little cowherd boy. And he took Madhavendra Puri by the hand and said, "Come with me." And he took Madhavendra Puri to this dense jungle of thick bushes. And he said, "I am in these bushes waiting for you in my form. So please bring the villagers, cut through the bushes. For a long time, I have been wondering, when will Madhavendra Puri come? I have been watching your devotional service. I'm eager for you to serve me. My name is Gopal, and I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Previously, I was worshipped here in Vrindavan. The great grandson of Krishna, Vajra, personally installed me here. 5,000 years ago, almost. But some recent time, the Mughals attacked the village, and the pujari hid me in this thick jungle and ran away. And since that time, nobody knows where I am. Come, install me and serve me. I'm very hot in the, I've suffered for so much heat in the summers and so much cold in the winters and exposed to rain and wind, waiting for you. And then the little boy disappeared. And Madhavendrapuri woke up and realized that the little boy was Krishna. He didn't recognize him. And he felt very much ashamed. This is a great devotee. He didn't get up and think, just see, Krishna came to me. He was feeling ashamed that Krishna came. I didn't offer him respects. I didn't serve him. I didn't even recognize him. But then he fixed his mind on the instruction of Krishna. It was the early morning. He went to the local village, assembled everyone together, and said, Gopal is in the forest, but it's very, very difficult to get through that forest. So bring your choppers and let us go. And he had a whole assembly of people with choppers cutting through the thick thorns and the bushes because it was impassable. You had to cut through to make a pathway. And they went deep into that jungle, and there they found, laying there, was Gopal, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He was covered with grass and with dirt. They were struck with wonder. With great effort, they lifted him up, and they made a throne for him out of a stone, and another throne behind him to support him. And then, according to Gopal's will, Madhavendrapuri orchestrated a wonderful abhishek. They began by taking what are you saying, Mahaprabhu? Ekadasi. Oh, and nobody broke the fast yet?
It's 10:50. The time is 10:15.
10:15 or 50? 10:50. I will accept that as a very subtle hint. I will rush and end within a few minutes, because Prasad is waiting. Mahaprabhu is the spokesman for what everyone wants to say, but is but is too shy to say it. Empowered by the hearts of all the Vaishnavas. So they began by 900 pots of water from Govinda Kund. They filtered it so it was crystal clear. They performed the abhishekam. Then they offer panchagavya and panchamrita. And then the mahasnan, more water, huge quantities. Then they dried him nicely. Then anointed him with fine oils and made his body glossy. Then put sandalwood on him then made garments and ornaments, and then made offering. What an offering. Madhavendra Puri told the village, bring whatever you can bring. And his influence was so powerful. He had such contagious love for Krishna. His desire to serve Gopal infused the multitudes to give everything for Gopal. This is the power of associating with a great devotee. Usually, people are very much attached to what they work so hard for. Yes? But if you associate with a devotee who loves Krishna very much, you're eager to give everything to Krishna. This is the power of the love of a Vaishnava. This is why sadhu sangha, sarvasastra koi. All the scriptures tell us a moment's association with a sadhu is the most valuable thing there is. So the village brought their entire stock of milk and yogurt and butter and ghee and grains and dal, rice, wheat, all their vegetables, everything. Everyone just cleaned out their houses and brought it all to offer to Gopal. There were 10 Brahmins cooking. Then another 5 were cooking others. 10 were cooking grains, 5 were cooking vegetables, and another 5 to 7 were cooking chapatis. And they were covering chapatis with thick layers of ghee. Mahaprabhu, you like that? Mahaprabhu was smiling very nice. But it will end soon. And so many preparations. It was anakuta. Literally, the entire village of all their foodstuff was offered to Gopal. Mountains and mountains and kuns of bhoga. And Madhavendra Puri had large quantities of tulsi leaves, and he was sprinkling the tulsi leaves on all the different preparations. And then with great love, he offered it all to Gopal. And after offering it, he personally offered the aarti, the first aarti. And then he personally made a bed and laid Gopal on a bed, decorated with leaves and flowers. And he fanned Gopal, and he massaged Gopal. So personal. And then he put Gopal to sleep. And then after everybody else took big, big feast, he organized the whole feast for everyone. And Gopal was resting nicely. Everyone was totally satisfied. Night came, and Madhavendra Puri ate his first prasad of the day. He just took a little milk preparation. He was so totally absorbed in serving everyone. He just didn't consider himself. Now, because of Madhavendra Puri's enthusiasm to love and serve the deity, the whole village was inspired, and the word spread. Somebody heard about this from another village and literally begged Madhavendra Puri, we want to do the same thing from our village. We'll bring everything we have and offer it to cook it and offer it to Gopal and have a festival for the pleasure of the deity. So literally, there was a line. All the villages of Brajbhumi, they all wanted to make this offering. So it just went on and on every single day. Now, for most of us, you know, we have one festival for 3 days and we're very tired. Yes. During the Vrindavan Yatra, we were cooking for 4,000 people almost. The cooks were cooking for 2 weeks, and after that 2 weeks, they were ready to do Govardhan Parikrama and rest. Yes. Well, Madhavendra Puri, he himself was organizing these massive festivals for Gopal, for entire villages, day after day after day, week after week, month after month, every single day. And with new people each time. And people were so enthused. Soon, Prabhupada says, wealthy capitalists from Mathura began to offer silver thrones and ornaments. And then other people, they came, some wealthy people came and built a beautiful temple for Gopal. Madhavendra Puri didn't even ask anybody for anything. Madhavendra Puri, his desire to serve Gopal was just so pure and so contagious that it inspired everyone to give everything. That is the power of his love. People could see Gopal through the love and devotion of Madhavendra Puri. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes a verse that the people of Brajbhumi, that the nature of the people of Brajbhumi is to love Krishna. And the nature of Krishna is to love the residents of Vrindavan. Every single family in the entire Brajbhumi donated one cow to Gopal. So there were thousands and thousands of cows. And Madhavendra Puri just came there a few days before, all alone with nothing. And Gopal himself told Madhavendra Puri, he said, in my village, nobody goes hungry. If you beg, I will give you whatever you want. If you don't beg, then I have to come myself and give you. Yes? So by the power of Madhavendra Puri's love, here's, Madhavendra Puri has absolutely no possessions. He's homeless. He's too humble even to beg. He's just sitting there fasting at Govindakund after an entire Govardhan Parikrama. You know, whenever we do Parikrama, usually we stop in the middle and have nice prasad. He just did the whole Govardhan Parikrama, and then he's just sitting there, fasting, too humble to beg. And Gopal sitting in a jungle for years and years and years, starving with no food, no shelter, nothing. But this is the exchange of love between the Lord and his devotee. Now there's a magnificent temple. There's tens and thousands of cows. There's jewels and ornaments. And as far as eating, it's massive every day. Every day there's massive mountains of bhoga being offered and prasad being distributed. Madhavendra Puri didn't ask for anything. But Krishna gave everything. Why? According to Srila Prabhupada, he was sincere, he was serious, and he had no ulterior motives. Madhavendra Puri started giving initiation to some of his followers and taught them how to worship the deity. Two Vaishnavas from Bengal came. He initiated them and entrusted them in so much of the deity seva. 2 years went by like this, where Madhavendra Puri were just holding these festivals and worshiping Gopal. And at the end of 2 years, he had another dream, the second dream, where Gopal appeared to him again and said, I'm still very hot because I was in the sun for so long. Go to Jagannath Puri, the Malayan hills, and bring a large quantity of sandalwood back for me. No, we may not appreciate the austerity that the Lord was putting upon Madhavendra Puri now. Because if Gopal here were to tell you that in a dream, bring me sandalwood, you would probably just go on the internet. And with your credit card, you would head by DHL or Federal Express, they would send sandalwood here. And you would be thinking, how surrendered I am. But in those days, it wasn't like that. And Krishna and Gopal also told Madhavendra Puri, only you can do this alone. Hare Krishna. So here is Madhavendra Puri, the magnificent temple, all these followers, so many cows, and Gopal himself, his life and soul. And all alone, he has to leave. And he has to walk from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. There were no trains, no planes, no buses. He walked. He walked and he walked and he walked. In those days, the different provinces had different names. But he walked through Uttar Pradesh and Madhya Pradesh, walked through Bihar, walked through Bengal, ultimately came to Orissa. And Madhavendra Puri wouldn't even talk to people because he was so fixed in remembering Krishna. If he saw a dark rain cloud, he would fall unconscious. Because he would remember the complexion of Krishna. And he couldn't tolerate hearing prajalpa. And the tendency, if you have a companion, is you speak prajalpa. Have any of you ever experienced that? Even among devotees, you're somehow or other, you talk about things in the name of dovetailing. But Madhavendra Puri, he did not want to waste a moment thinking of anything about then Krishna. So he traveled alone. He was totally fixed in Krishna, always. And ultimately he came to Ramona. And there at Ramona, he heard about the temple of Gopinath. In the temple, they tell the story of that deity. At the time of Lord Ramchandra, when he was in exile, he told Sita that he was going to make a deity to reveal to her what he would look like in his next incarnation. So from a river, he took a big stone, and with his own arrow, he carved the deity of Gopinath. And Sita fell in love with him. And she personally worshipped him. And then when they left that place, it was entrusted with some Brahmins and ultimately it was brought to Ramana, carved by Lord Ram with his own arrow. Deity of himself. So Madhavendra Puri saw the beauty of Gopinath and he was dancing and singing in ecstasy. But he was always thinking of service to Gopal. Wherever he was, his mind was fixed. Vyabhashayatma kabu here, ekeha kurudandana. He was resolute in purpose. That trip was simply for the service of Gopal. And at every moment he was thinking of the service of Gopal, chanting his holy name. And he started hearing about wonderful bhoga that was offered to Gopinath. So what was his first thought? Now, if you were traveling all alone for so many months by foot and not even begging for food, and all of a sudden you hear everybody talking about this most incredible prasad of Gopinath, you would probably think about eating it. Yes? If you would be like that, please say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
Sorry to hear that. Madhavendra Puri, he didn't think about eating anything. As soon as he heard about all this wonderful, amazing Mahaprasad that's offered to Gopinath like nowhere else in the world, he was thinking, I should learn how to make these things so that I can offer it to Gopal. Hari Bol. The Bhagavatam says, if you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. Krishna is the root. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartiti. The root of all that exists. If Krishna is satisfied, we become satisfied. Prabhupada said, if you offer ornaments to the deity with love and devotion, then you lose all desire to make yourself look beautiful. Now, that might be scary for some of you. But the reason is because you're so much happy seeing Krishna's beauty, you don't care about your own. But some pujaris will make themselves beautiful just so that Krishna will enjoy them. Yes, I'm not saying we should do this, but if you go... You go to South India, you'll see sometimes pujaris have gold chains and earrings, and they're men. They're not ladies. They have gold chains and earrings, and they have very, very nice perfumes on their bodies. And you may think, these people are really, really arrogant, sense enjoyers. They may be like that, but they may not be. They may be very humble and simple, but they just, for Krishna's pleasure, they are dressing themselves and putting these fragrances. The gopis would dress themselves most beautiful only for Krishna's pleasure. Only for Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri, when he heard about these fine offerings, his only thought, let me learn so that I can offer them to Gopa. No ulterior motives. And then he heard. He was asking. He was inquiring about each offering. And they said, there is one offering of kheer that it's like such nectar. There is nothing that is comparable in taste to this kheer that is offered to Gopinath anywhere in the entire world. And it's offered every evening. 12 pots, clay pots. So this was being described, the 12 clay pots were put on the altar to offer to Gopinath. And Madhavendra Puri was thinking while the offering was going on, if without asking anyone, Gopinath gives me even a slight little taste of this kheer, then I'll know what it is, and then I can prepare the same thing for Gopal and make him so happy. But the standard of his devotional service was so selfless that just upon thinking that, he became ashamed. That I'm thinking of tasting this food before while Gopinath's still eating it. He was ashamed. He felt he had made a big offense. Then the aarti took place. He observed the aarti, and without saying anything to anyone, he left. He went into the village where there was a lonely marketplace, and he sat there chanting the holy name. After the offering, Pujari takes the clay pots of the kheer off the altar, mops it up, and then puts Gopinath to rest. And then the Pujari himself went to take rest. Meanwhile, Madhavendra Puri, he's just sitting in a lonely place chanting, atoning for the offense that I was thinking of eating while Gopinath was eating. Chanting. And Gopinath appears in the dream to the Pujari. And he said, one clay pot of kheer I stole from my devotee, Madhavendra Puri. I hid it behind the curtain, and you didn't count, and you took all the pots, but one remains. Open up the doors of my altar, come inside. Behind that curtain, remove the pot of kheer, and in a lonely marketplace in the village is Madhavendra Puri. Call for him and give this. Tell him I stole this just for him. So the Pujari woke up, cleaned himself, opened the doors, went in the altar, looked behind the curtain. There was the stolen kheer. Mahaprabhu looks really serious. And he brought it out, cleaned the place, closed the doors, and went out into the marketplaces and was calling out very loud, Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, whoever you are, wherever you are, Gopinath stole this pot of kheer just for you. And Madhavendra Puri heard this, and he came up forward and identified himself. And the Pujari told him the whole story. Pujari said, I can understand there is no one so fortunate as you, Madhavendra Puri. Gopinath has stolen the pot of kheer and hidden just for you. Madhavendra Puri was in ecstasy. What love Krishna has for his devotee. He ate the kheer, and can you imagine what it tasted like to him? He wasn't just eating rice and milk and camphor and sugar. Gopinath's love for him in such a divine, special way was permeating that kheer. As he was eating it, he wasn't just eating it. He was not just honoring it. He was reciprocating with Krishna's love in the highest form. After he finished the kheer, he washed the clay pot and broke it into little pieces and wrapped it up in his cloth. And every day after that, he would eat a piece of the clay pot. And as he'd be eating the clay pot, he would be remembering Gopinath's love and weep in ecstasy. From that moment, the deity was renamed Kheer Chor Gopinath. And now crowds of people were learning about Madhavendra Puri, and everyone wanted the blessings of Madhavendra Puri. Everyone wanted the darshan of this great saint. And Madhavendra Puri heard his glorification spreading in all directions in that village. So before the morning, without saying a word to anyone, he left because he did not want to be glorified. He did not want to be recognized. He was on a mission for Gopal, not for himself. He just disappeared. Everyone was looking, where is Madhavendra Puri? He's gone. But wherever he went, the news spread. So he kept just quietly just leaving every place before any crowds would find him. Until he ultimately came to Jagannath Puri. But what was the big news in Puri? Gopinath stole kheer for Madhavendra Puri. So as soon as he arrived, he was a celebrity. He was a famous saint. And everyone was crowding around him. And he didn't want anything like that. But at the same time, this is where his service was. So he had to tolerate it. And he went and he told the devotees, the pujaris and the other devotees of Jagannath, about Gopal's order to him. Now, in those days, it was very difficult getting sandalwood because it was all under the control of the government. It was extremely valuable. So the devotees in Puri had to go to the government officers and beg them to give this large quantity of sandalwood. Very difficult to get, and even then, very small rations you could only get, quotas. But somehow or other, by their persistency, the government gave them a large quantity of both government-regulated sandalwood and camphor. They gave two assistants to Madhavendra Puri. Now he had to walk all the way back to Vrindavan with extremely valuable, worth a fortune. And he had to go through jungles. At every river, you had to pay taxes. Even if you were just a mendicant with nothing, you had to pay taxes of some sort. What to speak if you had such a treasure? He had to travel through jungles. He had to travel through Bihar and so many areas. Places with tribes of dacoits and robbers. Very difficult. But he didn't even think about the dangers. It didn't matter. Whether he was living or dead, it didn't matter. He simply wanted to do the work of the Lord. Absolutely fearless. Bajahure mana sri nanda nandana abhaya charanara vindare. His only thought was Krishna. So he went through very, very difficult hardships, risking his life, carrying this massive burden, physical burden. Spiritually, it was a blessing. That is the way he saw it. And he traveled all the way back to Remuna, where he decided just to offer his obeisances to Gopinath and then spend one night and then continue his travels to Vrindavan. But after chanting and dancing before Gopinath and meeting the pujari, he took rest. And that night, Gopal, who was then residing on the very top of Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan, appeared and told him, Madhavendra Puri, I have already accepted all the sandalwood and all the camphor. Now stay there in Remuna and offer it to Gopinath every day until it is finished. Because there's no difference between the deity of Gopal and the deity of Gopinath and the deity of Gopal. We are one and the same. Madhavendra Puri woke up in the morning, explained this to the pujari. Pujari was very happy. And Madhavendra Puri, the two people he was given at Jagannath Puri, their full-time service practically was just grinding the sandalwood and mixing it with the camphor. And they covered the body of Gopinath every day throughout the summer months. Although Gopinath and Gopal were thousands of miles away, Gopal was experiencing the cooling relief and the great pleasure of the sandalwood as it was being offered to Gopinath. Now here in this temple, it's very convenient. Gopal and Gopinath are right next to each other. We have Gopal and we have Gopinath. So this particular festival and this particular story is actually very intimate and very special for our temple. This Gopal deity we have installed in honor of Madhavendra Puri. And also the sweet rice here is very nice. Yes, have any of you ever tasted Gopinath's kheer? So after the summer season, and Gopinath and Gopal were satisfied by Madhavendra Puri's great devotional service at that time, Madhavendra Puri went back to Jagannath Puri to observe the Chaturmasya. Huh? What? Huh? Stand up. Hold it up, please. After the class, Shivaram Prabhu was going to... Did Gopinath steal that bucket for you? Has just given us the internal significance of what took place today. Shivaram Prabhu had a dream. Where Gopinath said, I have stole this bucket of sweet rice for my devotee Mahaprabhu. After Mahaprabhu drinks the entire bucket, he will have to eat a piece of the steel bucket every day. And cry in ecstatic love. Now that everyone has seen this bucket, I have to end class very soon. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after telling this story, asked Nityananda Prabhu, have you ever heard of any incident of devotion that compares to Madhavendra Puri? So pure in his heart, so simple. He didn't care anything for himself. Everything was for Krishna. What kind of standard of bhakti is this? He was willing to risk his life carrying this massive wealth of sandalwood. Nothing was going to be for him. Everything was for Gopinath. Such a risk, such a trouble. But he didn't. Krishna sees within the heart. He didn't feel the slightest bit of fear. He didn't feel the slightest bit of discomfort. He was only thinking that this will please Gopinath, Gopal. And Krishna appeared to him 3 times in dreams to give him orders. And in each order, he was asking Madhavendra Puri to surrender. And in the end, the Lord reciprocates with the love of his devotee. Madhavendra Puri wanted nothing but the Lord's pleasure, and the Lord wanted nothing but Madhavendra Puri's love. Krishna's conquered by his devotee. Krishna becomes a thief for his devotee. And he's famous for it. If you steal, you're punished. Yes? But when Krishna steals for his devotee, it just shows his love. There is no greater truth than the love of Krishna for his devotee and the love of the devotee for Krishna. The loving exchange between Krishna and his devotees is the only reality. Everything else is illusion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, as if he had 5 mouths, he was glorifying the pure, spotless love of Madhavendra Puri. And then he began to explain the nature of Madhavendra Puri's intimate love. We will discuss this afternoon. And at the culmination of the whole pastime, the pujari brought out the 12 pots of kheer and gave them all to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya personally served it to the devotees, distributed it to all the people around, and then he personally tasted it. Gopinath's kheer. And we will end here. In honor of Sripad Madhavendra Puri, you will now, if Mahaprabhu is willing to share it with you. Honor Gopinath's kheer. Yes, Mahaprabhu, you would like to say something.
I don't know what I should say. When you said the
microphone.
Mahaprabhu has told Nityananda Prabhu that you cannot hear story like anywhere else. Actually, I'm completely involved at this time story which I'm reading again. I've never heard a story like that, which I read your biography. And that's the thing I was coming in my mind that in my life, I don't know.
It's time to break the fast.
Okay, so my question is, now Maharaj, yesterday you made one very deep statement that every decision which we take in our life is going to take us to that direction. And we take so many decisions, and that's why our direction is not yet fixed where what we should do. So how we should take decision so that we can reach to the proper direction?
Associating with devotees and hearing the lives of the great souls, Srimad Bhagavatam, histories of acharyas, makes it clear to us what we should be striving for in every situation in life. And then we have our free will. But if we are chanting sincerely and we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita sincerely, and we're trying to serve devotees sincerely, serious, sincere, trying to really overcome our ulterior motives, then through that association and that sadhana, Krishna gives us the strength to make the right choice. But still, we have to make that choice. And Krishna will tempt us, and Krishna will put impediments on our path just to see if we are sincere and serious. Because he doesn't give pure devotional service easily, so he will test his devotee in every possible way. And when he sees that the devotee really has that resolute purpose to please him, that Krishna gives. So whenever these junctions may come in our life where we could choose Krishna or Maya, we should actually see the more difficult the choice is to choose Krishna, the greater the opportunity to express our sincerity to the Lord. Does that answer your question? So now, everyone, please enjoy Gopinath's Mahaprasad. This pot of sweet rice, kheer, is... You should send this one to Mahaprabhu. Krishna's mercy waiting for all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.